this weekend, Major League Baseball starts up. So today in Design for the Real World, we look at the ball player's key tool. No, not anabolic steroids. I'm talking about the baseball glove. No one knows more about glove design than Bob Clevenhagen. He's been the head designer at Rawlings, the sports gear manufacturer, for more than 30 years. In fact, amazingly, he's only the third head designer in the company's 130-year history. We found Bob in his office at the Rawlings factory in the town of Washington, Missouri, rifling through a file cabinet.
These are my old patterns going back to 1890. I have everything I think that Rawlings ever made. 1927, George Sisler pattern.
The first glove I bought was actually bought at a Western Auto tire shop when I was in high school. My dad and I bought it. I worked and got the money for it. Well, it lasted me till my wife threw it away thinking I didn't need it anymore and bought me a new one, which was disappointing, but what can you do with a new wife? It was an old worn-out glove, but to a ball player, you never wanted to part with them.
Only you.
Well, the way you would make a baseball glove is you start out with your leather, which is steer hides, and I can feel the leather, and to me, I know whether it'll make a good glove or not. At that point, you're still following the path you'd follow with a shoe. You have the steel dies or cookie cutter that you lay on it and you press out the parts. You brand them, and then it's a question of sewing it all together. It was important to the old ball players starting out that the other players didn't see them wearing gloves. They thought it was a weakness, so they actually wore just work gloves with the fingers cut out of them. Not as much webbing and just a big old thick pad in here to protect your hand, because there was no one-handed catching. I mean, this thing would not close, so you had to catch it with both hands. But today, you just got to be able to, if you can reach it, this thing can catch it. My younger years with Rawlings, when I called on the professionals, it was not uncommon to see a player with a glove that was 15, 17 years old.
Sandberg hitting .327 now.
I think 84, when the Cubs were in the playoffs, Ryan Sandberg had requested me, and Ryan was a Golden Glove second baseman for the Chicago Cubs. Probably one of the better second basemen to ever play the game. I flew up there, and he handed me the glove, and the insides where the ball hits was missing. There was nothing I could do, but I asked him why, and he said, well, the glove always felt so good when it was damp, when it was wet, that I run water in it before every game. Well, you know, golly, it just rotted the insides plumb out of it. And, of course, he, like every good ball player of that era, he had another one just as equally as good. He just wanted this one.
There's a bouncing ball. Second baseman has it.
Holy cow!
Those guys that talk to it like it's a member of their family, you know. It's set by them in the car seat. They absolutely forbid anybody to put their hand in it. Those kind of things are pretty well gone. I don't even touch most of these because of their age. I just never got rid of any of it. They'll have to make some decisions when I retire, won't they? This stuff won't mean much to most people, but for now, there it all is.
Baseball glove designer Bob Clevenhagen. Our story was produced by Benjamin Conniff. If you're curious about other designs of common things, send your suggestions for what we should look at to studio360.org. And while you're there, you can subscribe to the free podcasts of our Design for the Real World segments or for the whole show every week. I'm Kurt Anderson. Thank you very much for listening this week, and I hope you'll join us again next time. Studio 360 is produced by WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Our production team includes
Julie Burstein,
Lital Malad,
David Krasnow,
Michelle Siegel,
Derek John,
Jenny Lawton,
Pike Medinowski,
Sarah Lilly,
Katie Rolnick,
Andrea Salenzi,
and Nat Wiener.
And our theme music is by David Van Tegum.
PRI's Studio 360 is funded in part by Ken and Lucy Lehman, who believe that winning workplaces respect, reward, and invest in their employees, by the Lilly Auchincloss Foundation, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. Studio 360's series on creativity and science is supported in part by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation.
PRI, Public Radio International.